sweeps, which is okay because as much as the East and West finals have been competitive, I didn't really want them to be sweeps. Because if you watch the games, you know they've been really competitive. There's been some really specific themes. The Wolves and the Pacers' inability to close. I wanted it to be a little longer for the Mavericks, too, only because I don't love the idea of a week plus without basketball. So we will get a game 5 between the Mavericks and the Timberwolves. That one taking place back in Minneapolis on Thursday. And we'll see. Will it be a week without basketball for the Mavs? Or will we get basketball into the weekend? Meaning conference finals on the West into the weekend. So that question remains to be answered. We, of course, know there were not going to be sweeps in hockey because the Final Four are very competitive. Different styles, real different styles, and yet it's fun to see them clash on the ice. So 2 more games, another night, another doubleheader, kind of. I mean, they're not even straddled, really. They start about the same time, which makes it tough to go back and forth and keep up. But we're practiced because of what we do during football season and, gosh, during the rest of the year. So we'll get to your hoops and hockey playoff style coming up. Also, we will talk about the French Open because Novak Djokovic did win his opening round match, but admittedly did not play well. And he's been in a big funk this season so far. Has to get to the semifinals of the French Open in order to maintain his world number one status. So right now, it appears on the surface that he is vulnerable there at the French Open and not only could be knocked out, but also could lose his world number one ranking. We'll talk with our friend Christopher Clary when he joins us from Au Paris. That's a couple hours from now. So he's going to join us live. It's always so much fun to have live international guests because it fits their schedule and our schedule perfectly. So we will talk some tennis. Novak Djokovic was there to see Rafael Nadal's opening round match in which Rafa lost. So that's one of the big themes as well, whether or not this was the last we've seen of Nadal on the clay courts at Roland Garros, even though he's a 14-time winner there. And then Naomi Osaka and Iga Swiatek also matching up on the women's side, two of the bigger stars on the women's side. So there's a lot to do, a lot to talk about in this edition of the show. I'm really wondering, it's caused me to think, the last time we talked about golf here on After Hours when it had nothing to do with LIV or the sham merger between the PGA and LIV. It feels like it's been forever that we've actually talked about golf without those being the themes. I know we mentioned Nelly Korda as she was going on her winning streak. That goes back a month now. But another story from women's golf that is catching the attention of a lot of people because she's one of the most accomplished golfers of the most recent generation, and yet she's walking away from the game. However, I think walking away from the game when you know that it's not what you want to do anymore is certainly easier to talk about and easier to manage and navigate, even if it is mental health, than a family mourning their young man, their athlete, who succumbed to his battles with mental health. But I do think that Grayson Murray has provided a catalyst now for the conversation to take place more and more. So in the past 48 hours now, mental health is front and center. And it really is a catch-all for a lot of different challenges for humans. In the case of Lexi, she'll tell you what she was struggling with. Not the same as what Grayson Murray struggled with. Not the same as what Kevin Love was struggling with. Not the same, but that umbrella of mental health is a larger one. I think in many cases, is not even a medical diagnosis. It's about the emotions, the challenges that humans face in today's society that obviously affect us mentally. So anxiety is a big one for a lot of young people. Goodness, I mentor a handful of young women, some of whom become little sisters to me, and the number of times I've heard them talk about their struggles with anxiety or how anxiety can get them, some of them even being on medication for anxiety. So it's a lot more prevalent among our young people, even kids, which is really sad. But with the Grayson Murray suicide and his family coming out and really his life being put in a spotlight, his battles with alcoholism and depression and anxiety, at least for these few days, you're going to hear more about it because people are talking about it. It's a little bit like the shock that people face when they lose someone unexpectedly who is close to them. Or maybe it's an entertainment icon, someone that you grew up loving, and all of a sudden they pass away. They pass away at a young age. So it can be any type of a loss. And often what does that do for us as humans? It causes us to consider death and consider our own lives and reevaluate maybe how we treat the people around us and how we think about death and even how we navigate relationships and just kind of take stock of our own physical and mental health often when a death, the finality of a death can rattle you. Obviously, sometimes people take it further and think about what happens after death, right? And it can become a spiritual conversation. But I think death is one of those catalysts that causes humans to think a little deeper, maybe underneath the surface, because it can be so jarring and because it can be so painful and shocking. Those of us who are left behind, I think very often use that opportunity, or whether we want to or not, it brings us in touch with our own mortality and the fact that life is fleeting and it can be snuffed out. It can be gone in, you know, mere seconds, right? And whether you're prepared for it or not. So I kind of feel like that's what's happening a little bit here in the wake of Grayson Murray and his family pleading for him to be remembered and his story to be told. Well, now you're going to have more people who are thinking about it themselves, whether it's in the world of sports or it's not. And that's good. It's a good conversation to have, especially for those people who may know that they're not alone or decide, hey, this is something I need to evaluate, or maybe it's a step I need to take to get help. So it's no accident that we're hearing from other athletes at the same time. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, our hump show, middle show of the work week. Let's get it. Well, you do have a chance to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. So you can do that on our show Twitter at Amy After Hours or on our Facebook page. This is the middle show of the work week for us anyway. Not for everyone, of course, coming off a longer holiday weekend. You can also find us on Facebook. And I know there's been a ton of traffic on our Facebook page today, for a bunch of reasons. Number one, I finally posted the link to my blog about my mom on our Facebook page. I had done it on my own personal Facebook and then had done it on Twitter, but I wanted to make sure I shared it coming out of the holiday weekend on our show Facebook page, because so many of you care, and I appreciate that about my personal life and my life away from radio. So thank you for all of your kind words. I actually asked Mom to go and check out Facebook on her own so she could read the comments. So thank you. Just really kind of you. Thank you. And then if you haven't seen it, it's there. It's easy. Just find the picture. Although a few of you think it's just a picture. All right. Whatever makes you happy. But it's much more than a picture. It's a story of my mom's teaching career and why I'm so proud of her. So that's on Facebook. It's also on Twitter as well, so it's easy to find it there. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. The Dallas Mavericks had a chance to close out the Minnesota Timberwolves, similar to what we saw with the Pacers and the Celtics, and their pattern just kind of playing itself out, true to form, if you will, true to the form of the series, where once again, the Timberwolves have a lead, and they have a lead late. Do you know what? All five of the games in the Western Conference, they've had a lead in the final 5 minutes and have been unable to close. In the East, it was all but game two, right? Where the Pacers had three different chances, some that you would have sworn were slam dunks, so to speak. Some of those you would have sworn there's no way they could mess this up. And yet the major difference between Boston and Indiana, the inability to close out the game. Some of that's youth. Some of that's just dumb mistakes. Those are learning experiences, as hard as they are to come by. Well, in the case of the Timberwolves, no doubt they've got a lot of the same emotions as do the Pacers going into game number four in Dallas, feeling like, man, we've let a couple of these get away. We've not been able to close. And it was pretty similar heading into the final stages of what was a very competitive game, a back and forth affair for most of the night.
Now a drive by Ant to the elbow, goes to the opposite corner. Cat got time, fires the three and drains it again. 3 for 3 from long range for Karl Anthony Towns. The Wolves go up 5 with 5 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. Ant will back it out beyond the arc. Derrick Jones Jr. on him. Ant hunting with a right hand into the paint. Skips to a stop. Little swirl move. Up off glass. Got it. Banking it home. Two Mavericks hit the deck. Ant beat the shot clock buzzer and puts the Wolves up 100-92.
Jones to the right to Kyrie. They trap him, but he gets away from two. In the lane. Drop it off. Gafford reverse dunk. Out to Washington for three. And that's way off. But it bounces right to Kyrie on the weak side. Kyrie in the lane with the left hand. And that's good.
The voices of Alan Horton on Timberwolves radio, and you can hear the crowd behind Chuck Cooperstein on Dallas Mavericks radio. So yeah, it was a good back and forth, but once again, as the Timberwolves would build a slight lead, the Mavericks would reel them back in. At one point in the fourth quarter, the Wolves were up by 8 points. At another juncture, they were up by 6 points. By the way, the Mavericks never led by more than 4 in this game. So it was very tight all the way through. You could tell that the Timberwolves felt a sense of urgency. And the Mavericks, true to human nature, probably didn't have that same sense of urgency, considering that they've got real estate to play with. They've got a lead that has never, never failed to hold in any playoff series in NBA history. They've got a 3-0 lead. So it's understandable why they wouldn't have that same sense of urgency. Although I would think now it kicks in a little more. And we talked about this last year with the Heat and the Celtics, right? Because the Heat didn't sweep in Miami, right? So they won the first 3 games, 2 in Boston and then the game 3 in Miami. They ended up losing game 4. What happens? They go back to Boston for game number 5. They lose that one as well. When they return to Miami for game 6 and they lose, now they've lost the home court and they really lost the advantage. Now, as it turns out, they ended up just And I'm not a big believer in odds. It will happen eventually that a team in the NBA will come back from an 0-3 deficit in a playoff series. It's happened in the NHL. It's obviously happened in Major League Baseball. It's just the odds would tell you it's tough to beat a team four times in a row in this time of the year in the postseason. I mean, it's weird though, right? Because sweeps happen all the time, and yet it's harder for a team to do it when they're down with all that pressure. So it kind of behooves the Mavs to not mess around, because now game five is in Minneapolis, where they do bring raucous crowds. So then to turn around and let's just say they would lose game five, then the pressure starts to mount a little bit, right? If you don't win in Dallas, well, you're on the road for game number six. And it's the Dallas Stars that are nearly unbeatable on the road in this postseason. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So the Mavs are able to storm back. And what if we talked about in the fourth quarters of these games in the West? Well, Carl Anthony Towns been an issue, and not just in the fourth quarter, but for really the bulk of the series, where he shot just 28%. So he's really struggled to the point where it's become a major theme. But what else? Anthony Edwards at times has completely disappeared in the fourth quarter of these games. Well, that was not the case for either of the Wolves stars on Tuesday night.
Five straight Dallas points there within three. Ant is holding out by midcourt. The shot clock is down to eight. It's down to six. He starts to move off the Rudy screen. Ant with a left-handed dribble, now with three. He'll pull up. It's a deep two, and he drains it. A right side 21-footer for Anthony Edwards puts the Wolves up two possessions with 38.8 seconds left. How big was that shot?
On the Timberwolves radio network. That was sick. Alan, who's a former classmate of mine at Syracuse, he always comes up with the best lines when he's calling an Anthony Edwards crazy play.
That was sick.
He does such a good job. And now he's been in place for such a long time, too. 102-97. After Ant hit that long jumper that was just a step inside the three-point line. However, it was a little bit of the anything you can do, I can do better. As in, that was pretty sweet, Anthony Edwards, but watch me top that on the, wasn't quite the next play, but Dallas possession in the next few seconds.
Two-possession game. Gap for the rebound. Mavericks have to move. Doncic with 15. Doncic across the line. Right to left. Forces it up. Draws the foul. Hang on, sir. Oh! Oh, no! He didn't just do that! Oh, my goodness! Doncic, a miracle shot! And a chance at a four-point play with 13.2 seconds remaining.
Man, unbelievable that Edwards even reaches in there on that.
If you haven't seen this shot by Luka, it's a little bit clownish. It's actually hysterical. I keep laughing out loud every time I see it. Jay, if you want to find just like the Mavericks Twitter and share it on our show account at Amy After Hours. Not only does he do this kind of mild scissor kick, like it's not the full extension of the legs in each direction. It's not like he's doing a split or anything, but it kind of gives this mild scissor kick where his legs are not vertical. They're kicking out in front and behind, and then he just heaves that shot.
Oh no! He did just do that!
There is absolutely no form on the shot whatsoever. He heaves it from a step inside the logo. There might be eight people between him and the hoop. There were at least three defenders or three bodies. One of them may have been a teammate sitting on the screen. There were three bodies between him and the three-point line. That's how far out he was. And in order to get it up there, he's got to kick like you would if you were in a swimming pool to give yourself a little extra momentum, and then just heaves it. Not only does it go in, but he got fouled. Why Anthony Edwards was making any kind of contact at that point, it can only go badly for you. Let Luka shoot from out there. Not only was it one of the ugliest and funniest shots you're ever going to see, but it's a very low percentage shot. Man, Anthony Edwards gives up a four-point play. So that's with 13 seconds to go keeping the hopes alive for the Mavericks, but running out of time.
Got to get it in. Timberwolves, it's not in the act of shooting, so Dallas had a foul to give. Kyle Anderson struggling to get it in. They lob it to Naz Reid to the rim. He got the layup with the right hand. 105-100, and Dallas has called a timeout. Dallas was so pressuring off the inbound that Naz just cut back door, caught that, and that is not an easy finish.
That is the final score as the Minnesota Timberwolves hang on. They're able to close the door this time. And holding Dallas to just over 40% shooting was a big deal. The defense looked a lot more like what we expect from the team that was actually the best defensive team in the regular season.
We just got to keep battling them. They're unbelievably great players. Their fingerprints have been all over this series, making so many great plays and tough shots. At some point, maybe they're going to have a little bit of an off night.
I don't know how much of an off night it was, and it is sort of humorous when Luka Doncic claims responsibility. Now, I know he didn't shoot great from beyond the arc, but he had a triple-double, so I don't know how. He didn't shoot great overall, but he did have a triple-double, and without his 28 points and 10 assists, this isn't even a contest, but it wasn't as balanced an attack, and they didn't get the contributions that they would like from some of their role players. But that's not what the Mavericks claim was the major issue in game number 4. You'll hear from them coming up. Also, there's still no Derek Lively. He is potentially expected to play in a game 5 and has no concussion, but right now dealing with a sprained neck after he was battered and bruised in the last game. There was definitely extracurricular activity in this one. Rudy Gobert kind of in the center of everything. So it's getting a little chippier. And I actually like what Reggie Miller had to say about how the Timberwolves waited too long to have disdain. That was the word he used. It was brilliant. Have disdain for the Mavericks. They had disdain. They were disgusted by the Phoenix Suns, right? That was how they felt about the Suns. The Timberwolves themselves, they've had a chip on their shoulder against the Nuggets, and that really carried them through a 7-game series. But against the Mavericks, it's just not been there. So did they rediscover that tood, if you will? And will this be an even longer series with game 5 taking place in mini? On Twitter, at Amy After Hours, because it's our hump show, you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. And that crazy Luka circus shot, the 4-point play, that's now in a video that Jay just retweeted. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good to hang out with you. Hope that you managed without too many yawns to get back into your work schedule. I actually did a bunch of yawning on Tuesday afternoon. I have no idea why.
Sorry, I'm tired.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
The ball will be inbounded. It comes to Gafford. The ball game is over, and the Wolves have done it. They have forced a game 5 for the third time this postseason. They faced elimination, and each time they found a way to win. 105-100 is the final score here in Dallas.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Radio Network. Oh, goodness. Wait until I tell you a hysterical story about radio networks and how sometimes announcers get misidentified. I don't want to say anything else because you need to hear the story in its entirety. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So the Wolves stave off elimination. Do you know there's very few times in life that stave is the appropriate verb? They stave off elimination. That is probably the time that I hear it the most. Maybe really the only time that I ever hear it. Karl Anthony Towns shows up with force in game number 4. He shoots a lot better after shooting 28% in this series. He's 9 of 13 from the field. It's better than 28%. He scores 25. including a nice spurt to begin the second half. He goes 4 of 5 from beyond the arc and looked a lot more comfortable. Now, he did foul out in the last couple minutes, so the Wolves had to soldier on without him. But still, this was what the Wolves needed from their star.
Played smart, played under control, rebounded really well for us, executed defensively. Now, really, really proud of him. You know, he's been a huge part of every series up until then, and we knew we had to get him into this series, and tonight was a good, great step for that.
There ain't no time to have any doubts in your mind, especially at this time. It's game 4. We're down 3-0. There ain't no time to have any doubts. I'm going to go out there, be aggressive, shoot my shot like I've been doing all series, and I'm going to be confident every shot I shoot.
Everything came together for him. He was super confident. He wasn't worried about any shots previous to the shots that he hit tonight. He played exceptionally well, and he came through big time. He was the reason we won tonight.
Anthony Edwards also came through in the fourth quarter. So not consistently enough that the Wolves have made this an even series. And he was criticized for that as well against the Nuggets. It's been some very high profile disappearing acts, if you will, for the 22-year-old. But his best game of the series by far, 29 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists, so just shy of a triple-double. And he was definitely all smiles post-game.
Tonight, the entire game, I didn't let anything bother me. My joy was there the entire time. And big shout out to my college coach, man. He always takes me, Coach Cream, and tell me, man, play with joy. That's when you're playing at your best. And he made sure he takes me that before the game at halftime today.
All right. So in addition to Ant being happy with his own performance, he was just kind of goofy. And he's sitting at the press table with Karl-Anthony Towns on one side of him, on the right side, and Mike Conley on the left side, but maybe down a chair because they weren't in the same frame, meaning on TV you weren't seeing all three of them together. The camera was kind of panning. At some point, Ant decides that he's got to call attention to his veteran point guard.
Any questions for Mike? Y'all want to ask me about Mike? Nobody want to ask me about Mike? Bye-bye.
How about Mike, especially in the first half? It seemed like he really
is old as f***. And he was getting downhill, laying the ball up. So shout out to Bite. And he coming in here with these clown pants on. So y'all about to see him in a minute. But that's my OG. That's my point guard. He played great tonight, and I couldn't ask nothing more from him. So thank you, Mike Conley.
All right, so first of all, Conley is all of 36 years old. He's not even as old as Al Horford, right? And I know sometimes people tease him about his age. He's 36.
Old as f***.
Right. Old as that or old as dirt, whichever. Also, maybe it's just me, but I didn't think the pants were that bad. They looked like some stripy things with some gray and some white. Maybe I just didn't get a good look at them. Come on, Travis Kelce wears far more interesting pants than those. And who else? Russell Westbrook, for heaven's sakes, wears outfits that I'm pretty sure he designed himself, which is okay. I mean, you've got some outrageous dressers in the NBA. They enjoy it. They enjoy bringing attention to themselves. Mike Conley's pants, eh.
Remember Kyle Kuzma's pink sweater?
Yes, the one that It had the arms that
it engulfed him, basically.
Yeah, well, it had the arms that stretched all the way down to the floor, remember? And didn't we look that up? And it was something like $2,000 for that sweater.
Yes. I think at least that. Might have been more.
Right. So I don't really think that his pants were any big deal, but I don't know. Did anybody else see his pants? Yeah. They call him Bite, by the way. And Bite. And he's old as bleep. But he was getting downhill, laying the ball up. So shout out to Bite. I got to be honest. I've never heard that as his nickname before, ever. Have you, Marco?
No, and
Jay?
I didn't realize that's what he said. I thought he said Mike.
No, he said Bite.
No idea.
That's my point guard, or that's my PG. That's my OG. He played great tonight. I couldn't ask nothing more. But also funny, because beside him, Carl Anthony Towns has given you the peanut gallery. Damn! You want to play it again?
Any questions for Mike? Y'all want to ask me about Mike? Nobody want to ask me about Mike? Bye-bye.
Especially in the first half, it seemed like he really
is old as f- and he was getting downhill, laying the ball up.
Damn.
So shout out to Bite Bite, and he coming in here with these clown pants on. Damn. So y'all about to see him in a minute, but that's my OG, that's my point guard. He played great tonight, and I couldn't ask nothing more from him. So thank you, Mike Conley.
Just apparently don't wear those pants. Wow. All right, 22-year-old. See what I mean? He's feeling himself. He was goofy as heck because he finally had a game that felt like he could be comfortable in. Well, as for Mike Conley, he did not return the favor either. He just was doing his thing.
It took a lot of resiliency from our guys. You know, there's a lot of moments there where the game could have went the other way. We could have let go and. Guys weren't let the refs or big plays or anything kind of get in our way. We just kept moving forward.
See? Professional. I've tried to find a still shot of the pants, and I can't. Like I said, I've only caught a glimpse of them on video. As outrageous pants go, clown pants go, it didn't really seem like.
And
damn. That's my favorite part. That's the same guy that we have with our drop. Yeah. Cat cracks me up.
Yeah.
And he's like me. He laughs at himself. Damn.
I need to get a better look at the pants. From the first glance, I thought they were the Zubas. Like the old, from like the 80s. Like they look like that.
But just gray and white.
Yeah, the Zubas pants.
Parachute pants. I got you. But just gray and white. They didn't look that crazy. Maybe he was referring to the style. Come on now. Bell bottoms are back.
Yeah, I'm not
scrunchies
one.
Scrunchies are back.
I'm not one to commit on style. I don't know what's good and what's not, so I'm not going to comment on
leg warmers
on the
style back.
Of Mike Conley.
Yeah. I mean, skinny jeans, they're back.
They were ever in?
Yeah. These are all like recycled styles. So my mom tells me. I'm not very stylish, so I have no idea. But yeah. All right. Coming up, we'll hear from the Dallas Mavericks. They've got one reason why they didn't succeed in this game. And also Caitlin Clark back on the court with the Fever. Her best game as a pro. Fever didn't win, but she's definitely figuring it out. Even though she's seeing the yeoman share of the defense and every other team is paying attention to her more than pretty much anybody else on the court. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Two-possession game. Gafford the rebound. Mavericks have to move. Doncic with 15. Doncic across the line. Right to left. Forces it up. Draws the foul. And it's it. Oh, no! He did just do that! Remaining.
Unbelievable that Edwards even reaches in there on that.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On the Dallas Mavericks Radio Network, Chuck Cooperstein and company, and man, what a circus shot and one for Luka Doncic, but not quite enough in the final 30 seconds where the Mavericks just couldn't get back to even. Though it's about time the Timberwolves buck up, show a little intensity and some urgency, and refuse to give up a late lead. I kept waiting for the Pacers to do the same thing. They did not, and so the Celtics await the winner of this Western Conference final series, but we'll have to wait another game to find out. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Jason Kidd, he's a former NBA champion as a player. In fact, the last time the Mavericks went to the NBA finals, he was on that team with Dirk Nowitzki, and so he gets it. This is not going to be easy.
It's hard to close in this league, and so understanding that we didn't play our best, give Minnesota credit, they did, and so we're headed to Minnesota tomorrow and to play game 5.
I think that game is on me. I just didn't give enough energy, so we got to do better. They won one game. We just got to focus on the next one.
We just weren't in a great rhythm as of yet. We picked it up in the second half a little bit more. But yeah, just a few costly turnovers and, you know, some miscommunications on the defensive end during some crucial times in the game. Felt like that was the difference tonight.
Now, Kyrie kind of points to a few basketball things, a couple of turnovers, not in a great rhythm. But you hear from Luka Doncic, he didn't have great energy. And then Daniel Gafford saying something similar about how he started the game.
I know for a fact that I didn't come out ready to play at all. My energy was low, and I had to really just kind of, you know, dig deep, kind of like pull just some type of energy out just to be able to kind of come out and just play basketball at the end of the day. You know, those guys weren't going to go down easy, and they came out tonight, and they hit us in the mouth, and we had to adjust to it.
That's fairly standard, though. It happens so often. The team, the group of humans with their backs against the wall who have no other choice but to fight their way out. I mean, this is kind of what happens. It's a fight or flight type of an instinct, if you will, the adrenaline. So that can be worth a whole lot when you're the team that is on the precipice, right? That is about to be unceremoniously dumped out of the playoffs if you don't give everything you've got. So it makes sense. But the pressure is on the Mavericks here to close this out. And now game five is back in Minneapolis. careful what you ask for. Luka Doncic about the mindset going into game number five, which makes me want to do this. A face palm.
We got to win four games. What mindset? We got to win one more game. That's it.
What mindset? We've got to win four games. We've got one more to go. That's the mindset. Dap. Yeah, it's... I hate questions like that. Or what was going through your mind? What were you thinking when all of this was playing out?
Don't even say it, man.
Something that happens in, I don't know, 0.3 seconds. What were you thinking in that moment? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook. Our show Twitter is at Amy After Hours. And we are soliciting, you know those signs, no soliciting, no solicitation, no solicitors. You see a variety. We're soliciting and we're asking for your questions for Ask Amy Anything inside of 2 hours from now. We also will have a guest joining us live from Paris. He's one of our favorites. I am always so impressed with how professional and intelligent the man is. He can tell stories like nobody's business. Christopher Clary, he's covered international sporting events for decades. Tennis is his, I would say it's his main thrust now, especially. He left the New York Times and he has started his own company, and he's terrific. He's written a couple of books, including one called The Master about Roger Federer. And so he's really good. He follows the tennis circuit wherever it goes. And right now that's at the French Open, which is really in its early stages. It'll go into the month of June, obviously. And then we aren't that far away from Wimbledon, so the grass court. And that kind of blows me away, right, that we're even talking about June and summer and then July, but your next holiday is July 4th. Jay and I were just talking about our July 4th plans and the fact that we are both taking off a couple of days around July 4th. I actually have to go back to Texas because everyone wants to go to Texas in July. I did this last year. The things you do for love. I did this last year, went to Texas in July, but that's when I got engaged and also when we first picked our venue for the wedding. This is for someone else's wedding. And I have decided it's a lot less stressful when it's not your wedding. So anyway, we've got another family wedding coming up in about 5 weeks. That one, though... it's in the Houston area. So instead of flying into Austin and staying with his family, we're flying into Houston and staying with my family, which is terrific. Really looking forward to it since I haven't seen my mom since Christmas. And so, yeah, I'm missing her, missing my family. Haven't seen any of my family since Christmas, actually, between trying to get him moved into the house and then the honeymoon, the class at Syracuse, the trip back to Texas while selling his house. So he took a couple trips back to Texas. So, yeah, definitely missing my mom. And for those of you who've read my latest blog post on mom, you know how much I love and admire her, how proud I am of her. She doesn't listen to the show, so I can tell you this on the DL. It's a secret, okay? So don't be sharing it with mom. But I am planning a retirement surprise for her. It's not going to be big, but him planning a dinner, and I've got her husband who's kind of in on the secret. But it's funny because she keeps asking me about what we're going to do the day after the wedding, right? And who's going to be around. Bob's mom may be around. And so she keeps asking me 20 questions because that's my mom. I guess I come by it honestly. And I can't say anything because that's the day that we're planning her retirement dinner. And so wanting to bring a few people in, trying to see if my brother will fly in too. So yeah, as I was writing about her this weekend, I had to be really careful. This is the way that I can pay tribute to my mom right now. And so I would love it if you would check out the blog post. The link is on my Twitter. I actually will retweet it from our show account too, since you're heading there to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. It's also on our Facebook page. So I'd love it if you would check it out and leave a note for mom, because she is hearing all about your kind words. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Cast.
Two possession game. Gap for the rebound. Mavericks have to move. Doncic with 15. Doncic across the line, right to left, forces it up, draws the foul. Hey, oh, oh no! He did just do that. Oh my goodness! Doncic, a miracle shot and a chance at a 4-point play with 13.2 seconds remaining.
Unbelievable that Edwards even reaches in there on that.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On the Dallas Mavericks Radio Network, Chuck Cooperstein and company, and man, what a circus shot and one for Luka Doncic, but not quite enough in the final 30 seconds where the Mavericks just couldn't get back to even. Though it's about time the Timberwolves buck up, show a little intensity and some urgency, and refuse to give up a late lead. I kept waiting for the Pacers to do the same thing. They did not, and so the Celtics await the winner of this Western Conference Finals series, but we'll have to wait another game to find out. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Jason Kidd, he's a former NBA champion as a player. In fact, the last time the Mavericks went to the NBA Finals, he was on that team with Dirk Nowitzki, and so he gets it. This is not going to be easy.
It's hard to close in this league, and so understanding that we didn't play our best, give Minnesota credit, they did, and so we're headed to Minnesota tomorrow and to play game five.
I think that game is on me. Just didn't give enough energy, so we got to do better. They won one game. We just got to focus on the next one.
We just weren't in a great rhythm as of yet. We picked it up in the second half a little bit more. But yeah, just a few costly turnovers and, some miscommunications on the defensive end during some crucial times in the game. Felt like that was the difference tonight.
Now, Kyrie kind of points to a few basketball things, a couple of turnovers, not in a great rhythm. But you hear from Luka Doncic, he didn't have great energy. And then Daniel Gafford saying something similar about how he started the game.
I know for a fact that I didn't come out ready to play at all. My energy was low, and I had to really just kind of, dig deep, kind of like pull just some type of energy out just to be able to kind of come out and just play basketball at the end of the day. Those guys weren't going to go down easy, and they came out tonight, and they hit us in the mouth, and we had to adjust to it.
That's fairly standard, though. It happens so often. The team, the group of humans with their backs against the wall who have no other choice but to fight their way out. I mean, this is kind of what happens. It's a fight or flight type of an instinct, if you will, the adrenaline. So that can be worth a whole lot when you're the team that is on the precipice, right? That is about to be unceremoniously dumped out of the playoffs if you don't give everything you've got. So it makes sense But the pressure is on the Mavericks here to close this out. And now game five is back in Minneapolis. Careful what you ask for. Luka Doncic, about the mindset going into game number five, which makes me want to do this. A face palm.
We got to win four games. What mindset? We got to win one more game. That's it.
What mindset? We've got to win four games. We've got one more to go. That's the mindset. Dap. Yeah, it's. I hate questions like that. Or what was going through your mind? What were you thinking when all of this was playing out?
Don't even say it, man.
Something that happens in, I don't know, 0.3 seconds. What were you thinking in that moment? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook. Our show Twitter is at Amy After Hours. And we are soliciting, you know those signs, no soliciting, no solicitation, no solicitors. You see a variety. We're soliciting. And we're asking for your questions for Ask Amy Anything inside of 2 hours from now. We also will have a guest joining us live from Paris. He's one of our favorites. I am always so impressed with how professional and intelligent the man is. He can tell stories like nobody's business. Christopher Clary, he's covered international sporting events for decades. Tennis is his, I would say it's his main thrust now, especially. He left the New York Times and he has started his own company, and he's terrific. He's written a couple of books, including one called The Master about Roger Federer. And so he's really good. He follows the tennis circuit wherever it goes. And right now that's at the French Open, which is really in its early stages. It'll go into the month of June, obviously. And then we aren't that far away from Wimbledon, so the grass court. And that kind of blows me away, right? That we're even talking about June and summer and then July, but your next holiday is July 4th. Jay and I were just talking about our July 4th plans and the fact that we are both taking off a couple of days around July 4th. I actually have to go back to Texas because everyone wants to go to Texas in July. I did this last year. The things you do for love. I did this last year, went to Texas in July, but that's when I got engaged and also when we first picked our venue for the wedding. This is for someone else's wedding. And I have decided it's a lot less stressful when it's not your wedding. So anyway, we've got another family wedding coming up in about 5 weeks. That one, though, it's in the Houston area. So instead of flying into Austin and staying with his family, we're flying into Houston and staying with my family, which is terrific. Really looking forward to it since I haven't seen my mom since Christmas. And so, yeah, I'm missing her, missing my family. Haven't seen any of my family since Christmas, actually, between trying to get him moved into the house and then the honeymoon, the class at Syracuse, the trip back to Texas while selling his house. So he took a couple trips back to Texas. So, yeah, definitely missing my mom. And for those of you who've read my latest blog post on mom, you know how much I love and admire her, how proud I am of her. She doesn't listen to the show, so I can tell you this on the DL. It's a secret, okay? So don't be sharing it with mom. But I am planning a retirement surprise for her. It's not going to be big, but him planning a dinner, and I've got her husband who's kind of in on the secret. But it's funny because she keeps asking me about what we're going to do the day after the wedding, right? And who's going to be around. Bob's mom may be around. And so she keeps asking me 20 questions because that's my mom. I guess I come by it honestly. And I can't say anything because that's the day that we're planning her retirement dinner. And so wanting to bring a few people in, trying to see if my brother will fly in too. So yeah, as I was writing about her this weekend, I had to be really careful. This is the way that I can pay tribute to my mom right now. And so I would love it if you would check out the blog post. The link is on my Twitter. I actually will retweet it from our show account too, since you're heading there to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. It's also on our Facebook page. So I'd love it if you would check it out and leave a note for mom, because she is hearing all about your kind words. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.